Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The firm of Harris and Meringue. Patrick Harris.
Look, Daniel, I do what I want.
Danny Meringue.
That is smelling your own farts.
Easy there. These are great pipes.
I'm not going to say agree to disagree, but I really don't like you right now.
The firm of Harris and Meringue on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 and 1080. The Fan.
All right, two down, one to go here. The firm of Harris and Meringue.
Show's over. See you later. Bye.
After us, you will get Ducks Insider with Joey Mack ramping up for Indiana at Oregon this weekend. Top 10 matchup. Game day in town, so you want to check that out. Then you get Luke Anderson, the Fan Happy Hour from 2 to 3, and then primetime, 3 to 7 to take you home, finishing up 13 hours of continuous live, local, regional sports talk radio. Coming up at closing arguments, we'll dive back into the attention, the level of attention the Beavers deserve to be paid. We'll open up that conversation. We had that at the beginning of the 11 o'clock hour. So if you missed any of that, head on back, whether it's on the Odyssey app, the YouTube app, or wherever you get your podcasts, you can check that out as well. 503-864-6326 is the Fan text line as well. We'll jump to the NFL as we spent a lot in college today, but I want a couple little NFL nuggies that I want to get to, and we'll start with the theme of our day, which is what to do with fill in the blank, and we'll start with Sunday Night Football. What to do with the Buffalo Bills? Because what I'll tell you, I was watching that game last night. I was at the bar, no shock to anybody, because I was watching the Mariner game with the homies. And we had one of my good buddies sitting next to me is from Buffalo, and he's a diehard Bills fan. And so we had the game on the other side. And I was so tuned into the baseball game that he's kind of just giving me little nugs of what's going on in the Bills game. And what happened, this is the scariest part of some of these teams. And we're seeing this right now in Baltimore to an insane level, and we will talk about that tomorrow. But what's going on in Buffalo is so strange. It gets to a point in which Josh Allen has to put on the Superman cape, but that has shown that it's not a viable option to win a Super Bowl, as he comes up short all the time and at no fault of his own. And last night I thought was a great example. I turned to him and I go, he's going to have to put on the cape today, isn't he? And he goes, yep, I hate it when he has to do this. And this is a Bills fan. But that's what happens when you play with that fire. He made the point to me. He said, if Josh Allen is on Detroit instead of Jared Goff, that team wins Super Bowls.
Yes.
Super Bowls. And that's not a shot necessarily at Jared Goff. It's more of a shot at what's around him. You know, Cook is a good running back, but who's the best wide receiver he's ever had? Stephon Diggs?
He's Diggs.
And
they work good together.
They work good, but it's not JJ. It's not Jamar. It's not even Amon-Ron, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what happens, and I don't know where the Bills go from this, and that's what I'll ask you, what to do with the Buffalo Bills, because last night you needed Josh to put on the cape, and he almost did, but you can't live by that because you'll die by it.
So they've earned the benefit of the doubt the same way the Eagles have, and we'll talk about the Eagles tomorrow, but in the sense of like their quarterback play, their overall team play, their coaching, their execution, those things, they've earned the benefit of the doubt. And so I don't look at this as a one-off situation, or I look at this as a one-off situation, not a symptom as opposed to a disease. They had three turnovers in this game. The Josh Allen interception, it's a nice play by Marcus Jones. He jumps up, steals it. Okay, but you have two fumbles that you lose, too. So you had three turnovers. Meanwhile, the Patriots, they fumble the ball. They only lose it once, but they recover three. They get one of their own. They get two off the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Drake May has one of the weirder stat lines I've ever seen. 22 of 30, 273, no touchdowns, no interceptions. So he was productive, but in a in a strange way.
Yeah.
Didn't make any mistakes. Didn't make any mistakes.
No.
Right?
I think you got to be pretty happy with the progression of Drake May this year.
I picked the Patriots as kind of that team for me this year, and they did not.
I think a lot of people were trendy on it,
and they did not start well. But I think Vrabel's going to be a hell of a coach there.
Well, I think that's where most people put their money on. Is they just assumed Vrabel was good for two more wins, which he probably was, considering what coaching has been there in the last 4 years, 5 years.
And now the Patriots are 3-2. They're only a game behind the Bills in the division. They're right there, and they took a game off the Bills. I don't think it was necessarily as much as Josh Allen needs to be Superman because the Bills struggled. I think they needed to be he needed to be Superman because the Bills shot themselves in the foot, and then instead of applying the tourniquet, they shot the other foot, because it wasn't just the turnovers. How many penalties did they end with? It was egregious. Now, the Patriots also gifted them. Yeah, Bills ended up with 11 penalties. Patriots ended up with 8. Good Lord. And that actually got them back in the game.
That fumble by the Patriots looked to be the deal breaker for me.
Mm-hmm.
It really did.
But you're talking about a Bills team that they're just better. They are. But 3 turnovers to 1. So you're negative 2 in the turnover differential. And 11 penalties. Like, I don't know. Really, is any team going negative 2 in a turnover differential and putting up double-digit penalties and winning games?
No.
And so the fact that they had a chance kind of goes to show you just how good the Bills are, but it also shows you the Patriots, they got a little moxie, got a little toughness to them. But
also, it's a night game division. Like, my buddy even said, he was like, man, thank God the Patriots aren't what they used to be. It feels nice being in the AFC East again.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, be careful what you wish for there, buddy.
Right.
You might have the Jets and the Dolphins, but last time I checked, the Dolphins on a Thursday night pushed you to the brink. And that Dolphins team, as shown this weekend again, is horrific. That team is so bad right now, and they push Buffalo. So I think that's kind of why my question lies there, because you just lost to the Patriots, and the Miami Dolphins pushed you to the brink. And this is not an anti-Josh thing. I think Josh is fantastic, but I'm wondering, kind of like Lamar, do you need him too much? And that's a dangerous, dangerous spot. It's the MVP thing. Well, it's like,
the Chiefs have been there for the last couple of years, though, too.
Who's the MVP of the league this year? It's Joe Burrow, because that team is not very good without him.
In reality, the MVP right now is a two-man race between Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield.
And that might be true. And Baker lives in a world, that team's got a lot of talent, but Baker lives in a world where that team really, really needs him.
Oh, God, they are lost without him.
But as you saw with the Ravens not having Lamar, you're getting blown out. I wonder if the Bills are in the same situation, because I could sit here and argue, I'm not a negative Baker guy, but this might come across as a negative Baker guy. You take Baker out of that team and put in the backup, and I think they're still okay, because when healthy, they are a loaded roster. You take Josh out and Mitch Trubisky goes in, and I do not think you're having anywhere near the same results.
I agree. This is interesting. Where do you think the MVP odds currently are right now, the top 6 players? I'll give you the first one. It's Josh.
Okay. Number one is Josh.
Who would you say who would be number 2 in odds right now? Because I don't believe he should be there.
Justin Herbert.
No. Herbert is not in the top 6.
Daniel Jones.
No.
Great call, though. Great call. We'll talk Danny Two Nickels tomorrow.
Herbert is 7.
Herbert is 7. Okay. Jalen.
No.
Goff.
He's 5th.
Jordan.
Love is 3rd.
Okay, I'm getting close. So number 2
You have 2, 4, and 6.
Number 2 is Matt Stafford.
Stafford is 6.
Okay. Give me...
The fact that you're getting this far, it goes to show you.
Give me... this is terrible radio. Mm-hmm.
It is, but I want this. It's driving the point home every time you guess the wrong one.
We're not getting a Jaden Daniels in there, are we?
No, we're not getting Jaden because he missed time.
Same with Lamar.
I don't know. Dak
is 8th.
Okay, I'm out.
Mahomes.
Patty Mahomes?
What? Mahomes is 2, Baker is 4.
What?
Oh, I should have said Baker, duh.
Yes.
I'm an idiot. Mahomes is 2? We'll get to that. Right that game now, tonight is huge. We'll get to there in about a half hour.
Right now, Josh Allen is plus 125. Mahomes is plus 600.
What?
Look, Mahomes has it as an argument to end up in his career as a top 5 quarterback. There is no doubt about it.
He could be 1 when it's all said and done.
It's going to be tough.
It'll be tough, but he could be.
He could, sure. But he's had a couple games already this year where I'm like, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Yeah, but we'll get to that game here in a couple seggies because.
But number 2?
Number 2 seems a lot to me.
2?
That's the pedigree talking. That's right? Not that this field, like as this texter say, I was Herbert 7. If it wasn't for him, the Chargers would be winless. I fully agree.
Yes.
Herbert's my guy right now.
I would put Herbert in the top 4.
But that is a legacy odds or maybe a sucker bet. For people.
That's what I'm
thinking. That's probably what it is. All right, we come back. I do have to ask this question as well. What to do with the Eagles offense? They're finally beat. Danny texts me, and about 20 minutes later, I made him rescind on that. So we'll get to that next as the Denver Broncos, Bo Nix, takes down the Philadelphia Eagles. No more undefeated. We'll do that next. 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
With the theme of our show today has been asking the question, what to do with? And that keeps us in the NFL here because my question now is what to do with the Philadelphia Eagles offense? Because this is like 3 weeks in a row now.
Mm-hmm.
When do we start asking the question?
I think you start asking it now. I would tell you in the first half I wasn't going to ask it.
Kevin Petullo, what are you doing?
I wasn't going to ask it in the first half because... the Denver defense did not look like it was existent in the first half.
Well, I would argue it did. I mean, they kept them to 10 points in the first half.
I guess it was the early third quarter. It was 17-3.
Yeah, but
that's when I texted you.
Yeah,
it was didn't they score on their first drive out of the half?
Once it got to 17-3, it was like, uh-oh. But, you know, a little kind of what we talked about in Oregon's defense against Penn State, sometimes your defense can play so long, but then it gets to a point where it's just gassed, you know? And I think the Eagles' defense kind of got to that. Bo came a little bit alive in the fourth quarter.
A little bit alive?
A lot alive.
He was non-existent for most of the game. I was like, Bo, brother, I know it's been tough for you, but he was a non-factor. Then he exploded.
By the way, I mentioned it last week, and I think a lot of people have kind of bagged on him unfairly. When do we put Cortland Sutton in a top 10 wide receiver conversation, if not top 5?
He's not my Huckleberry. It's the same thing with like CeeDee Lamb. Not my guy. Sutton's
having a good year.
That's fine. He's not.
And they paid him, so he needs to.
He's not. If you want to pay that guy, go with God.
But my biggest concern, and it's a little different than the Josh conversation, because we've been seeing this for about 3 weeks now. There is a serious offensive problem in the second half for the Philadelphia Eagles. It just comes to a screeching halt.
Well, Jalen was dealing, and then he couldn't complete a pass. But the bigger issue, Saquon has not been there.
Well, the running game is definitely lacking. They're definitely missing it. And I don't know if it's an offensive line problem, if it's a play calling problem.
Saquon has 3 touchdowns on 83 carries, and he's averaging 3.2 per carry.
That's not great.
That guy last year was one of the most explosive offensive players we've seen in football in the last 20 years.
You could argue the best best rushing season, best season by running back of all time because of what he does catching the ball.
You can make an argument, yes.
He didn't catch Dickerson. I know there's extra games, but also what he does and what he can do in the air.
He was so prolific last year, and this year he
is reverse hurdling people.
He's just not been there.
But that's where I'm at. That's where I'm getting at. Why?
Because Jalen was good for most of the game, and then he wasn't.
But it's just this thing just disappears.
There's it's misfiring. It's not that they're not good. It's misfiring. But the Eagles and the Bills are both in the same boat of, like, they aren't hitting every single cylinder, but they're still so good that they're 4-1. I want to say this is the first time in, I think I heard the stat, it was 10 or 11 years. If somebody knows, correct me. I can't remember which one it was. It's the first time in at least a decade, it might be 11 years, that no team in the NFL has started out 5-0. There's no undefeateds left with the Bills and the Eagles both falling.
Yeah.
Dare I say parody?
Sure, sure. And to this texter points, isn't this what happens almost when QBs get paid? First place to get screwed is the offensive line? Super Bowl hangover?
Is
this a coaching problem? Are we back to the do I believe in Nick Sirianni argument?
Well, I mean,
because this is now 3 weeks in a row.
They are missing Landon Dickerson. He was out for the game. Like, and that's not like, oh, they're missing a guard. Like, no, you're missing the guard. You know what I mean? Like, that's a crucial part of kind of like who you are. And they don't have as many, they aren't like destroyed on the offensive line like some other teams, but you know, when you're missing one of your guys, it's not an excuse, but I think that's certainly something you can draw a line at. But nobody's ever healthy in the NFL, so we just kind of have to battle through that.
When you're looking at 1-4 teams versus 4-1, we played that game last week with 3-0 versus 0-3, or a couple weeks ago, whatever the math is. I don't feel great about this Eagles team. I just don't. When you can disappear like that late in the game 3 times in a row, doesn't matter who your opponent is, especially in big games. I mean, dude, they could have lost to Tampa easily. They should have lost to the Rams easily. Mm-hmm. And they did lose to the Broncos. So you're playing with fire here. It's kind of what we were talking about. Your 1 point, your close score games. Philly is playing with fire on that.
Well, so is Tampa.
But Tampa's got the excuse of being completely decimated.
Yeah, they're banged up. But also, this was the Commanders' argument coming into the season. They had from the Hail Mary against the Bears to the end of the season, I want to say they were 5-0 or 5-1 in one score games. Like that's the difference between 8 wins and 13 wins.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like that is a huge swing, and it's going to come back on you. Like, here are your 4-1 teams right now. Let's play the game.
Sure.
Colts, Eagles, Bills, Niners, Bucks, Lions. Those are your 4-1 teams. Who in there are you like, nah?
Niners,
and I want to put the Colts in there, but I'm not going to because they just hung more points than I thought possible by that offense. And again, my Raiders suck.
Yeah, we'll hit 2 nickels tomorrow and the Raiders.
But I mean, of those teams, the teams that I think I believe in the most?
Lions
for sure.
Can we count the Packers in that conversation because they have a tie?
No, they're 2-1-1. So, and they played cowardly football.
That is true.
Against the Cowboys. And I don't like that. And you want to say that's my bias? Fine. I don't care. But Lions for sure. And then I would put the Bills.
I'm cool with the Bills.
And then the next team in that list would be the Bucks and then the Eagles. There is something about the Eagles that, like, feels inevitable, but I'm not sure if the inevitability is success, because they are playing with fire, and like, maybe it's because we saw them win, and so the bar is higher. Whereas when the Bucks play with the fire, you're like, let's see.
And with the Eagles, we lament and wax poetically about the roster depth and their draft picks and their free agents and their, you know, little fifth round trading guys have just kind of shorn up holes here and there. And I think we all agree the league is looking at the Philadelphia Eagles as kind of the benchmark of how to run an organization. But the benchmark of how to run an organization doesn't always mean you win.
Doesn't mean
you
successful.
Win at the very top.
No.
So that's a great, great word you use there. Inevitable. I don't know what the inevitability is of this team, because it could be you got your one, and then you'll continue to falter. Because let's not forget the year before, Okay, they rattle off, what is that, 12 wins in a row, and then the bottom comes out, and they completely S the bed and tank away. And I wonder if it's like an every other year thing, or if it's to the text line's approach of it's hard to be hungry after you've already won one, and there's, you know, A.J. Brown is being weird and all that stuff. So I don't know what the inevitability is for the Philadelphia Eagles, but I have concern. I have concern in this offense. I have concern in not the players themselves, because I think Hurts has earned the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. Saquon has earned the benefit of the doubt. The receiver room is stupid.
You're just not there with Sirianni.
I think that's where it lies into, that something is not working. And if I don't believe it's the players not working.
Campbell's the only one on this list, because you're not a McDermott guy either.
I'm not a McDermott
guy.
So
Campbell is really the only one on this list who...
I am a Shanahan guy.
But you don't believe in the Niners.
Because of injuries and and structure.
Fair.
Whether it's Brock or Mac, I'm just kind of... But I love
I'll
Shanahan.
Say it and piss off all the 49ers fans. It's one of the most fraudulent 4-1 teams I've ever seen.
you said that when they were 3-1.
Yeah, I don't buy them. I don't buy them. And I'll go ahead and clip it. Keep it for later. I'll eat all the crow as it comes to that. I just... The injury stuff is just so insane.
I think Sirianni is low-hanging fruit to take your stab at when it comes to the Eagles. But if I'm telling you Hurts isn't playing bad, Saquon's not hurt or fumbling
but
like Derrick Henry.
But he's struggling.
But is he struggling or is the design struggling? And I tend to think that receiving room is too good. Hurts is the unicorn of the league. And Saquon might be one of the greatest running backs we've ever seen.
Yeah.
If all those things are true and you're not scoring in the second half, the problem with the Eagles is their coordinators are cheeks. The game plan and talent gets them a lead each week, but each week the opponent's halftime adjustments have buried them. That's on the YouTube chat. Kenny's right.
Well, who's not there anymore?
Kelsey?
Well, Kellen Moore.
Oh, Kellen Moore. That's what I'm talking about. The offensive coordinator. You start doing these rotations and...
And remember, we had these questions about the Lions,
too.
He
was the passing game coordinator last year. Petula was the passing game coordinator last year. But Kellen Moore's a good offensive mind. Yeah. Is he ready to be a head coach? That I don't know.
We saw that the first week with the Lions. We're those coordinators are mildly problematic. And then they went, Dan Campbell said, identity stamp, boom. We're going to punch you in the face. Have fun.
But I don't know. But Sirianni.
What's the Sirianni identity stamp?
I don't know if he has the same Dan Campbell does. All right, we come back. We'll stay in the NFL as we'll look ahead to tonight's Monday Night Football game. You had Mahomes on that list, number 2 in Vegas odds to win the MVP. The team they're playing tonight has a really good chance to join that club and really make us ask some questions. We'll get to Monday Night Football next. There's Rust with sports.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. But only for one
night, no repeat. Coming up, closing arguments. We'll circle back around on this Oregon State conversation as I've been keeping tabs on your texts, 503-864-6326, the YouTube chat as well, as we were asking the question, the 11 o'clock hour, are the Beavers valuable for our attention anymore? And I think Danny and I disagree on this, so we'll finish that conversation up there. Some interesting, not breaking news, but something we will leave some space for tomorrow. LeBron James has announced that there will be the decision 2.0.
Mm-hmm, the second decision.
The second decision tomorrow at noon our time?
Yeah, no, 9 in the morning.
So nine. Yeah. Oh, okay. So we'll pencil out a little bit of time for us to...
It's going
to
be an Amazon Prime ad. It's going to be so gross.
You think so?
I think there's a real chance that that's the case.
That it's not a real decision? It's just... Be sure to drink your Ovaltine?
Basically.
No!
Yeah.
That would be awful.
If you want to talk about...
You want to talk about backlash on LeBron? If that's what it is, dude, people are going to bury the guy.
His worst decision in his career, in his public-facing career, was doing the decision.
And raising millions for children.
Yes. If he does... Like, this is sell out
stuff. If he does... Yes, dude. This is worse than Ice Cube and Are We There Yet?
Hey, that was filmed here.
I don't care. That...
No, Are We There Yet? No, what's the one where... Was that the one where they had the house remodel?
I did not watch it. Oh, okay. It looked like a terrible movie.
They did one here. They filmed it in Newburgh. Actually.
Are We There Yet too?
Yeah. Well, they filmed part of it, or set in Newburgh. I can't remember.
Why aren't we there yet?
Yeah.
I bet you he comes out and he says he's retiring. That's what I bet it is.
I mean, that's the easy one to go to.
You cannot come out and be a commercial.
Well, you can if you get equity in Amazon.
He doesn't need... They won't give him equity in Amazon. They don't need him to have equity.
I mean, why not?
Well, if you're him, why not?
That's what I mean.
I still think that'd be a stupid thing.
I think it would be, too.
As somebody who likes LeBron...
I'm a LeBron guy.
Yeah, and does not bash LeBron and thinks he gets too much heat. If you sell out and you're an Amazon commercial, I am not backing you on that. I will never back you on that. That's a bad... That's worse than your Taiwan, Hong Kong backing out thing.
Yeah, the other one, is...
Because that one's really egregious, but I understand can't piss off the Chinese market.
Yes, but also there's the... he's been smart about stuff. He got called on the always on the third page of a book. And then now he's doing commercials where he makes fun of the book, that whole thing. He's gotten a little more savvy with that.
Mm-hmm.
If he sells out here because he gets $100 million from Amazon about in this, that's a tough look, man. But also, you wipe away the tears with the hundreds of millions of dollars. And if that's what you want, that's what you want.
That you're saving up to make sure you become the majority owner of the Las Vegas, whatever they are, when NBA has a team.
Yes. So,
I guess you need money. If you want to be an owner,
Bron's a billionaire, but it's not a big B.
No. It's going to take a lot. And he will want to be the governor. He will want to show why he's better than
Jordan
in that aspect. Dude, just retire tomorrow. Please don't take $100 million from Amazon.
Are you ready for the LeBron James retirement tour? Because it's going to be 11 billion times worse than Derek Jeter's.
It will be. Of course it will be. I don't know if
LeBron James getting his ass kissed for 82 games is going to be a lot.
I can't think of a current player right now in any sport that would have a larger farewell tour than him.
No.
In terms of level of hype, scrutiny, annoyance, the whole shebang.
No, it will be the most egregious. And that's why I don't think it's necessarily that, because he would have done it this summer. To let it start already.
Yeah, but it's a good way to say, hey, the NBA's here, guys. Because he is a logo guy.
Oh, yeah.
He does whatever he can for the logo. Talking about that Hong Kong stuff.
He puts on for the shield.
He puts on for the shield. Very, very big. And I really, really hope it is about LeBron and not about money.
Real quick, though.
Shoot.
I saw a stat come up about the Eagles, just kind of talking about that predictability. Russ, you brought up one. It was 80% of the time they're in shotgun, they throw, 85% under center, they run.
Yep.
Okay.
That is an egregious stat.
This from Brandon Lee Gouten. Eagles have 49 drives this season where they've tried to advance the ball. 10 of those drives have resulted in 0 yards gained or fewer. That is 20.4%. One out of every 5 drives is 0 or negative yards. So there is something here.
That's what I'm saying, man.
There is something here.
I think it's more schematic than anything. It might not be coaching. Maybe that was unfair to take a shot at Sirianni. But it's something not on the field.
Translating on the field.
On the field,
but it may be what's coming in.
Exactly.
That's fair.
Monday Night Football tonight pins the Kansas City Chiefs at the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Fun little
Rust's Jaguars.
Yeah, Duval. Fun little one for you. Jags are 3-1, and they have a new GM, a new head coach, a new OC, and a new DC.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty damn impressive.
Things can turn around quickly in the NFL if you make the right hires.
I saw Eric Armstead in an interview talk about how the vibe is just different. Like, stuff is just... different. And you talk about the Jaguars and all of the crap. I mean, bulky. Good God. What a just a horrendous.
Well, sometimes when you get younger voices in there, like a Liam Cohen, I hate a child
as your GM.
I hate to keep using this as an example, but it's just that relevant. It's Dan Lanning at Oregon. Yeah. You get somebody with some juice, a smart, young, up-and-coming guy with a proven track record of Cohen as an OC in Tampa or Lanning as a DC at Georgia. Like, it's there.
Is Cohen's Duval, is that as bad? Is that right there with Lanning jumping into the pool? Is that his moment?
Kind of. Yeah, maybe.
Oops, but maybe lean into it.
Yeah, but just go with it.
Yeah.
And you're connecting to players better than that. And
you
and
know what I mean, though? Like,
totally.
Maybe that wasn't the best way to go about it, but hey, you did it.
Hey, look, Doug Peterson wins a Super Bowl in Philly and is fired 2 years later, okay? Nick Sirianni comes in. He's got this big, brash Italian guy with his culture and his...
Water the bamboo.
Yeah, you know, and his like, weird eccentricities, but... People are into it, and maybe that's what Cohen's doing down there. Look, we asked the question at the beginning of the year, like, the quarterback I have the most questions for that I need to be answered is Trevor Lawrence. I don't think he's answering those questions very well, but the team is answering those questions better. This is without a doubt a better team. I don't know if Lawrence is there, personally. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm there with him. But Cohen's turned this Jags team around. Dude, they win tonight. They're 4-1. Talking about
and
teams 4-1
that
you
that
believe
list.
In,
and
they go to that list. I like them better than San Francisco right now.
Now, their loss
I think I'd pick them in Luke Anderson's pick them. I think I'd pick Jacksonville to win tonight.
Their loss is in week 2 of the Bengals, and that was Jake Browning.
Yeah, I know.
Unfortunately.
That was an ugly, ugly game.
And they've beaten the Panthers, they beat the Texans, and they beat the Niners. So it's like it's a little bit of meh in there.
Sure.
But you go out there and beat the Chiefs, that's a decent pelt on the wall.
It's a good pelt on the wall. Now, when you flip it over to the Chiefs side, you got to win just to stay up in this division. Okay? Vegas, sorry, bud. We'll talk about them and the Colts tomorrow. Vegas, goodbye. Adios to that. So now it's a 3-team race. But still, the Chargers, despite being banged up on the O-line and the Broncos kind of clunky offense right now, the Chiefs almost got to win this game. Just to stay within reach of the division.
Bro, the AFC South that we made so much fun of.
If the Jags win tonight, they have 2-4-1 teams.
And the Texans are 2-3.
And just housed Baltimore.
And not only that, like, what happens if they, again, very unlikely, what happens if they get healthy? Because that defense is diabolical.
Yeah.
Because if that offense gets going, that's a nasty team that you don't want to play. I have seen, like, 3 NFL player, like, podcast interviews over the last couple weeks about the Texans, like, playing them or like, getting ready to play against them. And they've all said some version of the same thing. Buckle up. Like, D'Amico Ryans' defense, it's one of those defenses that wants to tear your head. Like, everybody wants to tear your head off, but there's another level that they come with. They come with an intensity and a level of correctness of wanting you to feel real pain that you know, talk about putting your stamp on something. That is D'Amico.
What I was just going to say, Liam Cohen, what he's doing in Jacksonville, you know, they like kind of rebuilding the culture there. Mm-hmm. You said that it's savage defense, that it will punch you in the face. That's D'Amico.
Yeah.
That's what he did his entire career.
Wants to tear your head off.
Wants to rip your head off.
And he has guys that want to tear your head off.
And maybe, you know, not to turn this quickly into a Texan segment, because I'd like to get to them in the next couple of days, or at least more Ravens, but to shoehorn that in, sometimes you need teams that are reeling like the Ravens to get your offense going, because that offense is starting to go now, because that was the big issue with Houston, was this offense is broken. Maybe one of the worst offenses in football, blah, 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 blah. That's a get-right game, and if your defense is going to play that scary, that'll keep you going. That'll keep you going really well.
I mean, when you've got a defense...
Because
Texans,
you've got an identity.
When you've got Will Anderson, you've got Danielle Hunter, you've got 202, you've got Mario Edwards, like you've got dudes on that, especially in that front 7. Now, the secondary is... You certainly got guys, but I mean, Derek Stingley, probably the second-best corner in football. Like, I think he was...
The top 5, at least.
I think he was first team last year with him and Sertan, remember right? They've got dudes like,
and period. And I can't emphasize this more. It's how important identity is. We've talked about this over the last few weeks with college and NFL teams with identity. That's what's winning. Like, what's Clemson's identity right now? I got no idea. What's Oregon's identity? It's Dan Lanning. Mm-hmm. It's getting ready for the game. It's being prepared and being ready. That's their identity now. It's not defense. It's not flashy quarterbacks. It's we're ready for every single game. And you're seeing that in the NFL with the Texans, maybe with the Jags. Look, the Dodgers, they have an identity. When I looked at Shohei giving up three runs against the Phillies in game one, I'm like, oh, man. This is not a good look for the Dodgers, but guess what their identity is? We are loaded and we win, and we're going to find a way to win. And now when you go back and look at Shohei's stat line, it looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It looks pretty good because they found a way to win because that's what they do. If they win tonight, I'm not shocked because that's their identity. What is the Phillies' identity? Being very, very good and not making it. So identity is just, it's just massive to me. It's massive.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. When we come back, it's closing arguments. We'll get into reading some of your texts and YouTube stuff as we'll get back into... I'm asking you the question, is Oregon State worth my time? When Danny and I sit here and prep for this show to present you something fun and entertaining and informational, is it worth my time to talk about Oregon State? Closing arguments next. 105.1 The Fan.
The firm of Harris and Meringue is wrapping up for the day.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
Which means it's time for the closing arguments. Brought to you by Leskin Law. One day divorce mediation. Peace treaties, not war plans. Visit LeskinLaw.com for more information.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
On the Fan Sports Network.
You can't handle the truth!
105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
All right, that'll do for us. Bye.
See you later, buddy. Let's let the music run out.
It is closing arguments. We're having the conversation in the 11 o'clock hour. What to do with Oregon State? And, you know, I am seriously asking the question, you know, when we spend nights show prepping for the show and we get in early and show prep for the show, it's not worth my bandwidth to do this anymore.
What was the first thing I said when I walked in? Did you see that bleeping statement
yes,
from Scott Marms?
That was the first thing you said. Read some of your thoughts here. I've been a Beaver fan my entire life. I've only watched 1.5 quarters of football this year. Won't watch another second. Haven't watched a second of OSU basketball since the Elite Eight run in the NCAA tournament were the first games I'd watched all year. It's embarrassing how the university and president and AD just keep feeding the fans the same old crap and telling us the result will be different. The problem goes back long before Murphy and Barnes, but that doesn't excuse their culpability in its present state. Another person says, as a Beaver fan, I think the program is completely unsavable. There needs to be serious talk about ending the program because no program at all is better than this. Even Portland State isn't that bad. Let me see. I am told to bring my own ketchup packets when I go to Reser because I guess they're always out of ketchup. Good thing I don't eat ketchup, so you don't got to worry about that. Where are you? Dude? A lot of love for Danny Meringue today on his rant that if you missed, yeah, you can go back and check on the Fan podcast at 11 o'clock. And I think this is an apropos statement right here, and then I'll get to your thoughts, Danny. Got to keep talking Beavs, even if it's complaining. Apathy is the worst kind of program death.
And I said earlier that Oregon State fans should turn their back, and I did not believe that until this week. And I think the apathy is the only thing that you have left as a fan, as a supporter of that university. And for me, I'm not going to stop talking about it because it's not about the product on the field. Like, it's the product on the field is a byproduct of failed leadership, failed execution, failed vision, just failure, abject failure.
Look, there are teams that are bad. Okay.
Yes.
Like, you know, paging James Franklin this week. Brother, like, that's bad.
We brought on Ryan Clark to preview this season, and he was like, 8 wins should be the bar. I heard Sprague say this morning, I thought they would win 8 games. Ryan Clark was like, there's an outside world where I could see them winning 9 or 10 games. Like, that was supposed to be the product on the field.
Yeah.
They are so far removed from that I don't care about the product on the field. I don't. And I'm not saying, like, in the sense of, like, I'm not going to tune in or watch. It's just irrelevant to me because everything else about the program is so broken. And it's not just football. It's everything. I mentioned this last week.
Outside of baseball.
Yeah. Yes.
Go Beavs.
I'm talking just Oregon State athletics in general. I talked to somebody that operates in the crazy billionaire class.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you brought this up last week.
Who told me that the biggest donors they have are like, we're out, dog. We're out. You're not getting a penny from us.
Mm-hmm.
And that We heard the story last week about Blueprint and the money from like the, what do they say, the $5 to $500 donors, that's all going to players. The fact that you have to clarify that shows you just how far off you are.
Yeah, and I think you're, you know, the easy complaint of, you know, well, we don't have a conference and we were left behind. That stuff, go out the window with that stuff.
Cool, look at Pullman.
Because last time I checked, yep, Wazoo's doing okay, but you got a baseball team. You got a women's basketball team. Like, you've been to a final, you've been to an Elite Eight in men's basketball. Mm-hmm. I know that hasn't really shown since then, but like, your women's basketball program is solid. Your baseball program is one of the top in the nation.
Yeah.
So there is an ability to thrive down there. I think you've convinced me, Danny, okay? You win the argument today. I think you've convinced me, and this texter did too. Apathy is the worst kind of program death, and I think that's true. I mean, if as much as I, you know, talk about my alma mater, and not to just bring up my team in this, but it's because my team is connected to to your team, and will be forever. Will be forever now. I will be connected to Oregon State. If Oregon State shut down their football program tomorrow, forever, in 20 years, I'm still connected to your football program because of what we've gone through. So that doesn't work for me anymore, especially when you're showing you've got other athletic departments that are succeeding and are competing at a high level.
The limelight should intensify on Oregon State right now. People like you and me and anybody else in media in this region should be digging into everything, whether it's the Sportico article or Bill Orem questioning Trent Bray, that why should he be a head coach? All of those questions should continue to be asked and be intensified.
Boy, that Trent Bray argument on the sideline the sideline reporter talking to him? Dude, that looks so bad. On top of the dropping an F-bomb a couple weeks ago, like, bro, you look like you're losing it.
Give me a reason why. I'm sick and tired of like giving reasons for why everyone should be fired. Give me one reason why you should retain the president, the AD, or the head coach.
Flip it on its head like that, yeah.
Give me one reason.
Yeah, I don't have it for you. I don't.
If you do, you are a special kind of human.
Ooh, I like this thrown out. Where's David Shaw? Well, that guy would bring you some.
Go do something.
Yeah, this text got asked, is there a landing out there for OSU? Yeah, there is. There is. Look at again, to use my team as an example of somebody who's not very good, but we're not floundering. We found Jimmy Rogers. Is Jimmy Rogers the answer? I don't know.
And before that, you found Dickert.
Yeah, is Jimmy Rogers the answer? I don't know. But as a fan, dude, I like what I'm seeing so far.
You have to pull the ripcord. Everybody's got to go. And until then, like I said, the limelight should intensify.
The athletic departments are succeeding in spite of Barnes, not because of him. The ones that are succeeding.
I agree.
That's a great line as well. That'll do it for us. Closing arguments, visit leskinlaw.com for more information. Brought to you by Leskin Law. Leskin Law's one-day divorce mediation, peace treaties, not war plans. We will catch you all tomorrow. Be safe out there. That's for Danny Morang, Jeff Rust on the ones and twos, and Patrick Harris. Go do something I would do.
Bye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.